I want to share with you a few short things relating to Shushan Purim. Okay, first thing, let's begin with what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Simin Tov Resh Sadi Hei Sif Katan Beis in the Ramah. It's not mentioned at all in the Mechaber. The Ramah says a few words. V'chayiv b'mishta v'simcha ketzas. A little bit. B'beis yomim yudalid v'tesvav. V'chei nohagu. And that's the minhag. The yesh, so the Ramah says that there is a chiv of mishta v'simcha ketzas. There are different halachas that relate to Purim. The main halacha of Purim, besides the mitzvahs hayom of mishloach manos and the mikra megillah. But there's another halacha that it's also in hespedim and fasting. And this, in fact, is quoted in Megillas Tainis. The Megillas Tainis is not necessarily a raya, because Megillas Tainis, for most practical purposes, is batal bizman hazeh. But just as a baseline, all of the days listed in the Megillas Tainis, when Megillas Tainis was in full force, are only listed with regard to the law that you're not allowed to fast and you're not allowed to deliver hespedim. But there is no requirement in all of the laws listed in Megillas Tainis to have a seuda, to rejoice and to celebrate and to be in a festive mood and wear Bigdei Shabbos and do all these other type of things that are related to Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. So here is the very big dilemma. We have Purim. Purim, we know that there are mitzvahs hayom. There's a requirement to make a megillah, and there's a requirement, mishloach manos, matanas lavyonim, and there's also a requirement of the seuda, to have a seuda. What about Shushan Purim? Shushan Purim is not a holiday for those that live in Chutz Liaretz. Those that live in the it's relating to those that live in unwalled cities from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. They observe the Yom Tov with all of the mitzvahs on the 14th. The only one that observes the mitzvah on day 15 is anyone that lived in a city that had a wall that from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, except for Shushan. Shushan did not have a wall in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, at least not that we know of, right? That's the assumption. And Shushan, since that was the place where the miracle happened, that is the exception. So now, since our brothers are celebrating in Yerushalayim, and they're celebrating in Shushan, okay, whoever's there celebrating in Shushan, and celebrating in certain cities, there must be some other cities that people know about that had walls from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. I don't know if there aren't, that we know about, and they do celebrate, but Yerushalayim is the exception, of course. They are celebrating. How does that affect us who are not residents of those cities? So the Kitzur Shulchan, the Midrash, the Ramah says that there is ketzas, there is a little bit of requirement of mishta v'simcha. And then he concludes with the words v'chein nohagu. This is the custom. Now this has opened up a can of worms for all of the Mefarshim. What in the world is Ramah saying? Because if you go through all the sources of this halacha, most of the Rishonim take sides. Some of them, many of them say there is absolutely no requirement to do anything on Shushan Purim. The pasuk is very clear that the holiday is to be celebrated bizmanehem, in their appropriate times. We celebrate the cities that are unwalled celebrate on the 14th day, and that's it. V'lo yavar. You don't celebrate on day 15. In Yerushalayim, they celebrate on day 15, which would mean if you go to the extreme, this means that today is the 15th day for unwalled cities. You're permitted to fast. You're permitted to have eulogies. The holiday is over. The holiday was established really day 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We don't anymore in our generation practice day 11, 12, and 13. That's not practice because we don't have these type of cities where they only come in to the Batei Dinim on Monday and Thursday, so that's batel. The only thing that's left in our generation is day 14 and day 15. So if day 14 is the day when we celebrate, that's it, it's over. Day 15 is not our holiday. You want to go to Shushan, you want to go to Yerushalayim, so go to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. But if you're living in an unwalled city, you're allowed to fast, you're allowed to do whatever you want. Then there's an opinion, there are opinions that say no. Since there are people that are celebrating in Yerushalayim, and since there is this thing called Achdus, we're part of one nation, that simcha extends to those unwalled cities entirely. It's not going to extend to the law. There is no law to lay in the Megillah. That's clearly not going to be done. But as far as there's a prohibition to fast, and there's a prohibition to deliver hespedim, and once there is a prohibition to fast, deliver hespedim, there's also a requirement to rejoice. There shall be simcha v'mishta, not as a custom, but as a law. As a halacha, because it says in the Megillah multiple times, Yimei Hapurim Ho'ele, Shnei Yomim Ho'ele. It says in the Megillah these 2 days, yeah.
But is it reciprocal for Yerushalmim to do something?
So you're asking a very good question. Do they have a requirement? How do they celebrate on day 14? Okay, I didn't prepare that. I don't know. I didn't see much written about that. It's a very good point. I don't know the answer. You're raising a very good point. Do they reciprocate and celebrate on day 14? On the other hand, maybe not, because the Ikur Nes was in Shushan. That's where it all started, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. But it's a very good point. I don't have a clear answer. This is the issue. So, if you look in the source of this halacha, what you'll find, I don't have all the names, I didn't have really much time to prepare, but you'll find that there are two extremes. There is an extreme opinion which many take up that on day 15, if you live in an unwalled city, there is nothing, zero. You're allowed to fast, you're allowed to have hespedim, and there's no requirement to have simcha, mishta, anything of the like. Then there is a school of thought that says no. That it says in the Megillah, there are shnei yom ha'ela, yimei ha'purim, it's plural, purim is plural, purim it's a pur, even though it's yimei ha'purim ha'ela, it's a 2-day holiday, and even though we only fulfill the primary mitzvahs on one of the days, on day 14 we read the Megillah, and we have Mishalach Manos, but on day 15 there is a full-fledged requirement of Mishteh v'simcha, to drink a little bit and to have a suda. Along comes the Ramah, and the Ramah makes a pshara, and that's very rare, because the Balei Halacha don't make compromises. It's either yes or no. Halacha is like one opinion, or the Halacha is like the other opinion. Here the Ramah says k'tzas, a little bit, and he concludes, it's not me'ikar hadin, it is only minhag. So seemingly what the Ramah is doing is taking the side, like the opinion that on day 15 there is absolutely nothing, zero, and in order to give some, to acknowledge that there is another opinion that says there is an obligation, we'll do a little bit of mishta v'simcha. And he goes to the extreme by telling us not only is there a prohibition to fast and a prohibition to deliver hespedim, you have to do something positive. You have to have mishta v'simcha. So to bring out that point, because even though this also lists in the Megillas Tainis, all of the holidays in the Megillas Tainis is a clear difference between the two. You're not allowed to fast and deliver hespedim, but you have absolutely no requirement on the days listed in Megillas Tainis to have Mishteh v'Simcha. That's all. That's a whole long, Chanukah is an exception, of course, but all the whole long list of holidays, which anyway we don't observe as Man Hazeh, there's no fasting, no Hespedim, but requirement to have a Mishteh v'Simcha? Of course not. Purim is the exception. Yeah,
Purim is, yeah. He says Purim McCartney. You also, he says,
a Purim Katan. So there are Ma'az Lashitas. We're going to come to that in a few moments. I don't know if I want to talk about that, but Nechanavi. Purim Katan, you want someone to connect the two. The Tali Zeb is very good. But this is the list. We bring out the Chiddush to appreciate the Chiddush of the Ramah. The Ramah says that we go all the way. Hespedim, Tainis, and Mishteh v'Simcha, and Ktsas. A little bit of Simcha v'Mishteh. V'chein nohagu, it's not an ikar hadin, it is only a minik. Okay, so you mentioned something very important. That's what about in a year when there are double adar? we have two Ados, Ado Rishon Hasheni, and Ado Rishon, we also do not recite Tachnun on Yud Dalin and Tesvav. Is there a requirement to have a little bit of Mishteh V'Simcha? So the Ramah does the same trick. The Ramah says the same trick, Tzas. There's also a little degree of Simcha V'Mishteh on Ado Rishon, and it's a Minhag, it's not Nikradin. Other poskim, it's very interesting to note, and this is something which the Sefer over here, Paradis Eliezer, takes note. He figured this out, and you look at the other poskim, they're consistent. The same way they treat Tesvav, Shushan Purim, is how they treat Purim Katan, Adar Rishon, if it's an obligation to have Mishteh V'Simcha, or there's no obligation. There's a certain degree of consistency how you treat Shushan Purim to how you treat Purim Katan in a year when we have a double Adar. Okay, now that's some of the basic halacha. Now, as far as some machshava, what is the significance? So there are a few things which caught my attention. And the first thing, very simply, is that the real Yom Yerushalayim is Shushan Purim. We know that we have on Chof Ches Iyar, is that correct? Chof Ches Iyar? Chof Ches Iyar is Yom Yerushalayim, the day when Yerushalayim was taken back. And many people hold that to be a much greater miracle than even Yom HaTzmaot. I know there are people that will only say Hallel on Yom Yerushalayim, will not say Hallel on Yom HaTzmaot, because it's purely a religious holiday.
Why you Beis Medrash? That's what happened.
What?
Well, a lot of the Rebbeim, they didn't hold from Yom HaTzmaot.
Yerushalayim, they said Hallel.
Yom Yerushalayim is an actual historic event. Yom HaTzmaot.
It's a national right. Exactly. But it's also there were Nisim, people who were there, Nisim Gluyim that happened on Chof Ches Iyar, and they celebrate Al Pi Halacha as a day of Shelach Hoidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to a certain degree, Shushan Purim is the real Yom Yerushalayim. Shushan Purim, Yerushalayim, is not a city which had a wall at the time of the miracle of Purim. At the time of the miracle of Purim, Yerushalayim was Chorav. Right. We're learning right now in Nehemiah. Nehemiah is coming. Even after they built the Beis HaMikdash, there were still no walls in Yerushalayim. There was nothing there. And the miracle of Purim happened during the time in between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. And in order that it should not be that Yerushalayim, and for the covenant, should not insult Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is the exception. It celebrates Purim on the same day that Purim is celebrated in Shushan HaBira. We're giving kavod to Yerushalayim. Now, why is that so? So if we look very carefully, you will see, what is Yerushalayim? Where did Yerushalayim get its name from? There are two people who contributed to its name, Avraham and Shem. Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem, Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin V'Choyin Lechel Elyon, Yerushalayim, which originally was called Sholem. That was the name of the city. And it was called by the name of Shalom, peace, by Shem ben Noah. Avraham Avinu, at the time of the Akedah, offered Yitzchak and Har HaMoriah, and he was Mevakesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yeroah. May Hashem appear on this mountain. May Hashem rest His Shechin on this mountain. And on Avraham, it was also called Har Yeroah. But Shem called it Shalem. So as a compromise, the two are put together, Yeru Shalem. There's more to it than how it happened to the Vav. I don't remember all the details, but it's a combination between Shem and Avraham. And even though Shem came way before Avraham, Avraham was given the cover that his name came first. First comes Yira, and then comes Shalom, because Chazal say, Kol Sheyirosoi Kodemes L'Chachmoso, then Chachmosoi Kodemes. Yira Shamayim is the Iker. The person as Yira Shamayim will have everything, Moa Shalokecha Shomachim L'Yiroso, and Yira comes before the theme of Shalom. If there's Yerushalayim, there will be Shalom. If there's no Yerushalayim, there will not be Shalom. What happened at the time of the Megillah? V'rohu kol ami aretz ki shem Hashem niklo lecha v'yaru mimecha. Ki nofal pachad ha-Yehudim aleihem. Rabbi me ami aretz misyadim ki nofal pachad ha-Yehudim aleihem. The miracle of Purim brought out in the world a degree of Yira. pachad for Klal Yisrael. Where does it come from? Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the place where Avraham Avinu ki ato yodati ki yirei Elokim atov lechasachtas v'lechasichet menim. Yerushalayim is the place where Avraham Avinu was willing to give up Yitzhak as a carbon. He expressed the ultimate form of Yerushalayim. Purim, any holiday that brings out Yira has to come and relate. You have to give credit to the Mokom. Just like you have in Zman, you have themes. You have themes in the Mokom. If Purim is all about the theme of Yira, where the nations of the world come to fear Klal Yisrael, that can only be because Klal Yisrael themselves reached the Madrega of Yira Shemaim, and from that overflows to the rest of the world. And that's why we mentioned Tfilin. Tfilin Vikara, Elu HaTfilin is part of the theme of Purim, because Purim is all about Virok. You have to give credit to the Mokom that also represents the concept of fear, which is Yerushalayim. And what else is Purim? Lech kenos es kol hayud. What imsim vishushan vitzumu live yal tochav yal tishtu is kinos hayudim is divrei shalom vo'emes. Is where the entire Yisrael came together in peace. The accusation of Haman was yeshne am echad mifuzor umiforod bein ha'amim. They are dispersed. And what did Mordechai and Esther accomplish? They made shalom on Klal Yisrael. Who is the represents the concept of shalom? Malki tzedek melech. Sholem. Who's the one that gave the first Mishalach Manos, by the way? It was Malki Tzedek. He gave Mishalach Manos to Avraham Avinu. The Sholem was giving Mishalach Manos to the Yira. So Yerushalayim, which in essence captures these two themes, and the name is seen of Yira and Sholem, Mimele is the perfect location, Mokum, where Purim shall be celebrated. So even though the miracle didn't happen in Yerushalayim, and even though Yerushalayim is not the place, we did not have a walled city, but the essence of what Yerushalayim captures, the essence of what Purim is about, and that's why Shushan Purim, in essence, is what you could call the Yom Yerushalayim. Now, also for that matter, and it's posture that this is many people discuss this, is that the only place in Tanakh where Yerushalayim, that's the only place, this is mainly the only place where Yerushalayim is spelled Mole. Throughout Tanakh, wherever you have Yerushalayim, it's always missing the Yud. The only place where Yerushalayim is spelled Mole is in the Megillah. Megillah, we have Yerushalayim written Mole. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea I came across, which made an impression on me, is the Gemara. Yeah.
This is cities that had
the wall
at the time of Yeshua.
And time of Yerushalayim, right.
Where does that come from?
Because of the covenant of Yerushalayim, since we have to give honor to Yerushalayim, we can't abandon Yerushalayim. So, since we are giving honor to, what does it do with Yeshua? You were giving honor to Yeshua. Yerushalayim did not have a wall at the time of Yeshua. That's clear. So how does this come into Yeshua? So I'm not mistaken, because of Kibush HaMolech. Okay, I think that's one of the missing pieces that I'm missing, is that Yeshua was the first one, let's say, he lochem ba'amolech. Go out and fight against Amolech. And that's what the laning parasha, parashas b'shalach, the laning on Purim. Say he lochim b'yachalosh Yehoshua es amolek v'es amo l'fichar. Yehoshua was the first one, the first general to go out and conquer Amolek. And being that the Yom Tov of Purim is all about kibush Amolek, we give kavod to Yehoshua, the cities that were walled at the time, his lifetime. But the problem then, I'm sorry, what about Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim was not, did not have a walled city at the time of the Kibosh Yehoshua, and Yeshua began Melchemes Amalek. And Achnami, Yerushalayim is the exception, because that's the place of Bahar Hashem Yirah, like the thing that we just explained. It represents Yirah, and it represents the idea of Shalem. Okay, there's another idea I came across which captured my attention. There's a Gemara Masechta Yevamos, and the Gemara Masechta Yevamos says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did not see eye to eye on many areas of halach. That we know. We have many disagreements, but the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Yud Gimel, Daf Yud Aleph, tells us that nevertheless they did not withhold from marrying families of Beis Shammai marrying each other. And even though, according to one opinion, it's like dealing with questions of Yibam, according to one opinion, for a person to marry a Tzara, there can be a question of Kores. So according to one opinion, it's karis. According to another opinion, it's not one thing. You have a minhag. Do you go and do the two mothers march down the kala, or is the mother and the father march? We're not dealing with kleinikait. We're dealing with issues of karis. Doesn't matter. When it came to even the major issues, they got together, and the pasuk concludes with the pasuk, Hashalom ze ha'emes ehovu. Because Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they loved the Gemara Yivamis that you're doing. Lois is going to do, but Lois is going to do if you're only in one location. Two locations, you're allowed to have separate minhagim. You can't have in one shul two people doing different things. But two different shuls, there's no prohibition of Lois is going to do. What? You shouldn't break away, but the halacha, there are guidelines of when it's technically a violation of lois skaidu. But in any event, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the Gemara says they did not withhold from marrying the daughters and sons from one family and another because ha'emes v'ashalom ehavu. They loved emes and shalom. The Megillah ends with divrei shalom v'emes. And the Musar is, if your brothers, your brother is celebrating in Yerushalayim. I celebrate on the 14th. He celebrates on the 15th. There's no bigger lois eskaydu than this. That this is the Purim is a major chiddush in halacha. Every single yomtiv is one day in the calendar. If Klal Yisrael, there will be different minhagim. Or we celebrate Yom Kippur on Monday, and you're from the Sephardim, so you'll celebrate Yom Kippur on Tuesday. There's no greater churban than having two different calendars for different segments of Klal Yisrael. And this happened almost a few times. This is a miracle that Ad HaYom HaZeh, the entire Klal Yisrael, all shapes and forms, celebrate one day Yom Kippur, the same exact day, the same day as Sukkot. Okay, the second Yom, the second day, but we celebrate one day. It's a miracle. And there were many times in history when this unity was challenged. But Purim was established, l'chatzchila, there shall be different days. If you live in an unwalled city, it's on day 14. If you live in a walled city, celebrate day 15. That's why it was established. But nevertheless, so, we're separate. If we're separate, you'll do what you'll do, I'll do what I'll do, we're different. Where do we have a precedent? Well, not really a precedent. Where do we have the same idea of we have different minhagim and yet there's still achdus? Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel have a difference of opinion in many areas of halacha, even to the extreme of chayvei kresos, and yet ha'emes v'ashalom ehavu, they loved each other and they married each other's families. They married into each other's families. Therefore, the inyan of Shushan Purim is to join with our brother. Since the whole essence of the Megillah is Esther said letters, divrei shalom v'emes, the same theme, so we have to follow in the ways of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and when we rejoice on the 15th day, you know what we're doing? We're being mishtatei from their simcha. That's the point. See, if you take a look at Shushan Purim, it's our holiday, right? Today is Shushan Purim, it's day 15, so the miracle happened on day 14, the miracle happened on day 15, so we're also descendants of these people from 2,000 years ago from this time of the miracle, so it's our holiday. Today, day 15 is our holiday. We'll follow the Ramah, it's Ktsas, a little bit of a holiday, it's a two-day holiday. It says in the Megillah, Yimei Purim or Eila, there are 2 days of Purim, so we have to celebrate our holiday. No, that's not the pshat. It's not our holiday. The Ramot Haka says, it's only a minuk. Our holiday for B'nai cities that are Mufuzarim is day 14. It's not our holiday. Today it's the holiday for the people of Yerushalayim. But when we celebrate today, we're being mishtatef in their holiday. We want to come to your simcha. We're coming to your simcha. Why? Because the Megillah, the whole tafkuk of the Megillah is divrei shalom ve'emes. And just like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, es ha'shalom ve'emes ehavu, we have to go in the ways of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and
join you.
And it's a tremendous movement most of our generation. Today there's never in the history of the world in Yadus been such diversity and such different sections of Klal Yisrael where everyone does their own thing. Purim, Shushan Purim is the day where you mishtatef in someone else's, and you have to join together in someone else's simcha, and someone else's minhagim, someone else's yomtev. It's not for me. I'm not this from this culture. I don't have a sensitivity to their minhagim. But Purim, Shushan Purim represents the day when you should be sensitive to someone else's customs, culture, minhagim, and the way they serve Hashem. So it's a Yom Yerushalayim. And it's also a day, like, you know, you see at Simchas Torah, many communities, they all come together, they go out, they go dance from one shul to another shul. But really, that's what Shushan Purim is, in a much more pronounced and significant way. Even Mishtatef and someone else's simcha. Okay, there are some other interesting things. Just Rabbi Kitzinim, someone has tied this key with laying on the laning of Shush of Purim is Kiyod Milchama Kiyod Al Keska Milchama Lashem Amalek Midar Dar. Yod is Yudalit Kiyod Al Keska. Ka is 15. It's the joining together of the Yod Al Kes, the Mulcham Al Hashem Amolek. It spans the Yod and the Ka. What that means exactly, I do not know. It's an interesting little thing. Shoshanas, this is just a Ramazan. I don't have any deep understanding of what these things are, but there's Shushan, that's Zohar. And then there's Shoshana. Shoshana, Siakov, Tzolov, Isamecha. There is a synthesis between the Zohar and the Nekeva. So on one hand, Purim is Shoshana. Yudalid, we lay with Shoshana Siakov. It's Shoshana. Shushan is the Zohar. It's like a zivug between two different koyches. There's a koyach of a Zohar and a koyach of a Nekeva. All the miracles in Golas, Chanukah, you keep the Yehudis, Purim through Esther. We once mentioned this, is that all the holidays in Golas are holidays of come through women. Because women, no one should get insulted, are weaker than men. It's not the Geula Shalema. All the miracles that sustain us in Golus are temporary miracles to get us to the ultimate miracle, which will come through a Zohar. Shushan Purim represents the idea, Mochar Yihyeh, Mochar E'eseh Kedvar HaMelech. We're not yet ready for it. So let me just focus on this from another angle. All of our holidays take place on the most of our holidays take place on the 15th day of the month. Pesach and Sukkot. Holidays meant to take place why? Because our calendar is built on a lunar calendar. And when is the moon betokfoy? In the day 15th. When is Shushan Purim? The 15th day of the month. We celebrate Purim on the 14th. It represents, we're not yet there. Purim is the Yom Tov, which is a me'ein, a dogma of what will be la'asalava. Yimei ha-Purim o'er lo'yav mitoch ha-Yehudim, it's a me'ein of what's going to be when Mashiach comes, the new holiday, lo'yom ro'od, chai Hashem asher helel asher hevi, es v'shom yer Yisrael, me'elokim chai Hashem, who gathered us from all four corners of the earth. That holiday we're going to experience when Mashiach comes is going to resemble, be a magnified version of Purim, where Hashem will uncover his mask and will be able to look back throughout the entire history and have a much greater and deeper understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways throughout history. This, the ultimate Geula of Yemos HaMashiach, is just the Ne'em. Purim was an isolated event. It was an event which had occurred through a couple of years. We did not understand what was happening. It was a very great sorrow. And then at the very end, the mask was removed and we understood everything l'mafrei in retrospect. When Mashiach will come, HaKadosh Baruch will take off the big mask and we'll be able to understand the entire Jewish history with clarity and with a depth that we never had in retrospect. So the miracle of Purim is only a me'ein of what's going to be Lias Lava. It's a me'ein. It's close, but it's not actually there. The real miracle, the real Yom Tov is Shushan Purim. And Shushan Purim is not for everyone. It's not for us. It's not for people who live in unwalled cities. And it's not even for the people that live in the Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim there, it's a more intensified celebration, but being that it's unique to them, it's not to the entire world, there's something that's lacking even in Yerushalayim in the full celebration of the Yom Tov. The only way that we will come to the full appreciation, it will be Yimos HaMashiach, when the entire Klal Yisrael will celebrate it on the same day. Therefore, everything has different levels. We celebrate on day 14, a little bit short of the full moon. Yerushalayim they have on the 15th. Yerushalayim is, it has a maila, that it's on the right day, but it has a chasarun, that it's they're missing the whole Klal Yisrael. It's just a select group that is celebrating. But it does represent a level that is beyond our grasp. I saw one of my svarim that the Torah doesn't, the Megillah doesn't anywhere define Shushan Purim. It defines it as the Orei HaPrazim. What does the Torah say about Shushan Purim? The day the Orei HaPrazim, they celebrate Purim on day 14. So what do we know? Memela, the cities that have walls celebrated the next day. The Torah doesn't, the Megillah doesn't explicitly define the holiday of Shushan Purim. We only know it by derivation. On day 14, you celebrate Purim in the unwalled cities. So that means, so we figure out, so in a walled city you celebrate it on a different day, on day number 15. But the Megillah is not able to define the essence of the day. Anytime you have a holiday where the essence, or an object, where the essence is not defined, it means it's beyond us to understand. Another example you have of this idea is the man. The lo yodu mahu. Torah doesn't define what the man is. Torah just says what it's not. The Torah explicitly, they did not know how to define the man. Moshe Rabbeinu, what is his essence? Moshe is defined what he's not. Ki min hamayim mishisiu. If you want to know what Moshe is, all I can tell you is he's not part of the water. What is the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu? I don't know. Torah doesn't tell you what the essence is. But you can know that he's not from the water. Ki min hamayim mishisiu. I took him out of the water. He's not part of the water. But what is he? A name always defines a person's essence. But when the person's essence or an object's essence is so exalted, is so holy, then the Torah can't define it, can't attack it, can't define it. It only can refer to it by telling us what it's not. You have that by the man, you have that by Moshe Rabbeinu, you have that by, there are a handful of things, and you have the same thing by Shushan Purim. Nowhere in the Megillah is the day of Shushan defined. It's only told us, but it's not. It's not the day of the unwalled cities. The Torah speaks a lot about how the people in the walled city, the unwalled cities, celebrate. So we derive, if this is how it's celebrated by the people in the unwalled cities, so if you're in a walled city, it has to be a little bit different. When is it going to be different? So we know from derivation it's going to be on the next day, but the Megillah never actually defines it. That means it's extremely holy. It's extremely, its essence is beyond us. It's something which remains for li asalava. Okay, so that pretty much concludes what I wanted. What?
The terminology.
Yeah. Yeah.
More for those who aren't celebrating in Yerushalayim today.
Yes.
Weren't they celebrating Purim? Were they celebrating Shushan Purim? Were they celebrating Purim?
Celebrating Purim, but on a different day. They're celebrating Purim on the same day that it was celebrated in Shushan Habir. In Shushan Habir, they were allowed to kill their enemies for an additional day. They killed their enemies on day 14 as well, and they rested on day 15. They rest on day 15.
Shushan Purim is used for those who don't celebrate on the 15th day. We have Shushan Purim here.
Right. By them, Shushan Purim is Purim. It's also called Shushan Purim. By them, it's also called Shushan Purim, but it's the day when they fulfill all the mitzvahs. It's called Shushan Purim. It's called Shushan Purim, and they lay in the Megillah.
Okay.
and they do all the mitzvahs hayom, and they have the full celebration. But it's a very complex balance.
The people in Israel now.
Yes.
How do they refer to today?
Purim. It's their Purim.
They don't make any reference to Shushan.
They don't say the word Shushan?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay. We call it Shushan Purim because by us, these are terms. I hear what you're saying. It's a very complicated point of one. You should walk out here all what? Only the old city.
Only the old.
No, so if the city has been extended, then they become the toffle. If the city has been extended, then they're toffle to the city, and then you have a lot of different opinions on this matter, and you have to go. The point you should walk out here is confused as what is it is a very complicated to review some of the Pratim. It was a very complicated day. There are 2 days. We have the 14th day, we have the 15th day. The 14th, the question is the 15th day. What is the day? How do we relate to it? Is it our holiday and we don't fast, no hespedim, and we also have Simcha Mishnal Pidin? Or it's only Ktsas, or it's Minhag. It's a little bit not here, not there. Is it our holiday? It's our holiday. We're also celebrating. No, it's not our holiday. We're being mishtatef in someone else's holiday. It's a holiday that very much relates to Yerushalayim. One thing, important thing I've got to tell you. Where do we have a reference to this idea? We have in the Sefer Yoshua. When Yeshua conquered the Eretz Canaan, there were 31 cities. He conquered all 31 cities, and all 31 cities were all listed, all arranged in a Navi, exactly the same way the Aseres Bnei Haman are arranged. So what is the connection? There's a connection between the kibush of Yehoshua and the fall of the Aseres Bnei Haman. You do see that there's a connection, there is some connection between the two. The connection is that there's a medrash that there were 30, I don't remember the details, all of these kings had... Okay, let's put that aside now. But you do have this connection between Yeshua and in the way they're written in the Shira, and we have our holiday, is it their holiday? It's Yerushalayim. Purim captures the essence of Yerushalayim, so in that hand it's also called Yom Yerushalayim. It's Yudalid Yodal Keiska, and okay, that's pretty much it. I'll just tell you the gematria. Gematria is Kavel Hashem Chazak V'Yametz Libecha V'Kavei El Hashem. A person has to yearn for Hakadosh Baruch Kavei El Hashem. After you finish Kavel Hashem Chazak V'Yametz Libecha, you have to be mechazek yourself and do it again. Kavei El Hashem. Shushan Purim represents the Kavei El Hashem that comes after Chazak V'Yametz Libecha. On Purim, you go through an experience of Kavei El Hashem, Chazak V'Yametz Libecha. Then Shushan Purim, Nochamol, Kavei El Hashem. How do you know this? Because the gematria of Kavei El Hashem twice is exactly Purim. Kavei El Hashem multiplied by 2 is exactly Purim. So therefore, it represents this idea that you have to be mechazik yourself to prepare for the next year. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day.